What should a Christian do if they're in a conflict? How to handle a conflict on this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, we're bringing the truth of God's word to a starving world. Fresh Bread Podcast 99. I always think of Wayne Gretzky. I know you young kids might be thinking of Aaron Judge, but it's always Wayne Gretzky. With me, the greatest hockey player of all time who wore number 99. And that's where we are. Next time is the big 100 for Fresh Bread, and we're going to celebrate with maybe an Egg McMuffin, but we'll see.
You tea and crumpets.
Tea and crumpets. What are we, English? I didn't know that. Okay, today we're going to kind of look at a current event, something that happened, and then we're going to try to look at it from a Christian view. That's kind of what we do here. And I'm Pastor Keith, he's Pastor Brandon, and we're going to look at what happened with Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, and Zelensky, who is the president of Ukraine, and they had kind of a, I don't know what you call it.
It was a dust up.
A dust up. That's what they say in Arkansas.
Yeah.
A little dust up, a little rhubarb in the Oval Office. And we just thought we would talk about what should a Christian do? Let's say you're in front of a group of people and you're with somebody and the person you're with starts to say things that you weren't planned on them saying. And some of it isn't quite true or accurate. And so what does a Christian do? And so I just thought I would, let's pick Pastor Brandon's brain and just see what a Christian should do in a situation like that. So Pastor Brandon, how are you doing?
Doing well.
Doing
here
well.
Here from Southern California, rainy Southern California.
Yeah, I was going to say he's doing this from, he went to the Shepherds Conference again, 2025 here. And so he's out there in Southern California where he lived many years of his life, going to seminary with me. And I'm not that, you know, we're the only two there, but there's a lot of guys there. But anyway, it was a lot of fun being out there. A lot of hard work and something I wouldn't, I don't know if I want to go through it again. How about you?
No. Well, I do enjoy school, but I do enjoy that. But I wouldn't want to go through the stress of it again, no.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get into this right now. So what do you think as we look at what happened? We see the mainstream media, they're kind of painting Trump as this bully and he handled it terrible and it was just awful. And so how should a Christian conduct themselves when they're in a heated conflict? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think that's one aspect of dealing with what happened. I mean, we'll need to deal with like what the fallout was and how to discern, you know, how to discern what happened and why. But in terms of conflict, I mean, as a Christian, that's a difficult question because, you know, it's not a difficult question from the standpoint of being a Christian. We want to, you know, we want to avoid unnecessary conflict. So, you know, I think that if someone says something that you don't agree with or isn't true, yeah, I think the question becomes, you know, is it worth correcting them? And, you know, like if it's something minor and you know that if you try to correct them, there could end up being this conflict. And you just want to, you know, as an example, having differing understanding of eschatology, that it's important to me. And I think it's important to understand what is going to happen in the future, biblically, but in terms of conflict, it's not worth separating, you know, fellowship. It's not worth putting yourself in a position where you can't have contact with, you know, fellowship with a fellow believer. So I think in terms of conflict, there are times when we need to have conflict and we shouldn't shy away from it. You know, I'll give you, you know, even in your families, like if a husband and a wife and the kids, in a healthy family, there's going to be conflict. Now, in a healthy family, that conflict is dealt with. It's not pushed aside. It's going to be something that's dealt with. But as Christians, we shouldn't shy away from conflict when it's needed. But as Christians also, we should be discerning as to whether or not that conflict is important enough to have conflict And I think also, you know, even looking at the Zelensky-Trump issue, I think also realizing that, you know, questioning whether or not that was the right time and place. But, you know, I think that's another thing. You know, families have, as an example, families have conflict, but the place for conflict is, you know, to deal with it at home, to deal with it quickly, to resolve it as quickly as you can. You know, don't let the sun go down on your anger kind of idea. And so I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of created more for me because you said that like eschatology doesn't hinder our fellowship with other believers. Is there anything that would hinder that? Is there a line that we draw?
Well, I think, yeah, what I think going back to that specific topic, eschatology as for example, yes, you know, what I'm saying is that I may differ from a brother in Christ in terms of what I believe. And I sincerely believe what I believe. And we've talked a lot about it. No, you know, most everybody's going to be listening to this knows where I stand in terms of eschatology, but I would be careful not to create relational problems because of what I believe about eschatology. And, you know, I'd be really careful not to do that. But there are things that I would, you know, I would for sure go to bat for. If someone, you know, says that Jesus is not the Son of God, you know, or that Jesus was just a man, I would definitely go to bat, you know, with someone, especially someone who claims to be a believer, if they said something like that. So there are absolutely doctrines that I'm willing to have conflict over, especially in the church.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. And I'm just looking at when we're recording this, it's after Donald Trump had a joint message to Congress last night. And there was a lot of yelling from the other side. And as we look at our world and then we look at our country and we look at our, you know, our state, I mean, you can bring it right into your family. There's so much tension and so much conflict that there are people who some people have been friends with for many, many years. And after the election and after everything that's going on, they're cutting ties. They're like, I want nothing to do with you. There's people in other people's families where their sons and daughters have said, look, I want nothing to do with you. So as Christians, how do we handle that when, like, say your own son or daughter comes to you and says, because you're this, I don't want anything to do with you. So I'm never speaking to you again. Like, what do we do in that situation?
Well, in terms of what we're trying to accomplish is we want to have peace with all men. Now, we can't have peace when there's fundamental differences that, you know, as an example, what I believe about, you know, the LGBTQ plus situation, you know, I can't change what I believe. Yeah. You know, God made man in male and female. And so I can't change what I believe that way. And I can't, you know, capitulate to what, you know, to what someone else is going to believe in that way. I, having said that, and there's going to be conflict around that, but I think as Christians, we need to make sure that we keep the relationship open if we possibly can. That's, you know, because we're not going to have, if we completely isolate ourselves from the rest of the world, we're not going to be salt and light to the rest of the world. And so, you know, I need to really work hard to make sure my conflict doesn't end up separating fellowship or separating a relationship, especially as an example with your kids or your grandkids or your, you know, your brothers and, you know, sisters and all the, you know, I want to continue to have a relationship with those people. I want to continue to be able to have influence in their lives. And so I realize that at times I'm going to have to keep my mouth shut and not say exactly what I think, even though I'm thinking it. But there's a point where I have to just pray. And, you know, I most people in my life know exactly where I stand. Like there's no question where I stand. And, you know, I've obviously said a lot about where I stand, but I don't think there's anybody in my family who wouldn't have a general understanding of where I stand. And so I don't have to go out of my way to have conflict with people to make sure that what I believe is something that they believe. Or make sure I tell them how wrong they are. They already know that there's conflict there. There's differences there. And and anytime I've had situations where that's the case, I've tried personally to keep the relationship open. I've got people, you know, that I disagree with vehemently, and yet I still have a relationship with them because I want to have influence in their life. And that doesn't mean that I'm compromising on the truth. I still stand for the truth, but I want that relationship to be intact if I possibly can have it.
Yeah, you're better at that than I am. I still kind of struggle with that sometimes when, you know, you have a heated, and not that I'm the one that's heated, there's someone else mad at me and I'm just like, whoa, okay. Have you ever, I was just going to ask you this, as we live in the times that we are living in right now, I think it started with COVID, where we could see the lines drawn where people are on each side. And we saw that affect the church. I mean, we saw churches just, like you always say, blow up because of wearing masks, not wearing masks, getting the jab, not getting the jab, which is kind of carried over into politics and into everything. Like we see, I was just thinking, have we ever seen a time in our, and maybe there is because if you go way back in time, but at least in my lifetime, where things have been so just amazingly, the conflicts that have come up and just the anger that you see on both sides. I mean, it's just amazing what is going on in our world right now. What do you think?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, you know, historically, the Republican Party, for example, so looking at last night and the speech that was made last night, I mean, there was a clear divide. I mean, you couldn't get any more clear between the conservative side and the progressive side or liberal side, Democrats and Republicans. You couldn't get any more clear as to the difference between the two. So that, I mean, there was two very clear different camps. And, you know, I just heard this morning on the news as I was listening, I just heard this morning that the Democrats had decided not to clap at anything. Like, they all agreed not to give any applause. So they didn't even want to give applause to things that were humanitarian things, like, you know, a cancer survivor, a brain cancer survivor who is getting, you know, he's entrance into the Secret Service. And so, you know, it's terrible that we're so siloed. And I think it's dangerous. Now, historically, it's interesting. Historically, Republicans have been more, In my opinion, Republicans have been more willing to be gentlemanly, if you use that term, gentlemanly in how they respond to the other side. But I think what's happened is that the other side has taken advantage of that and basically has run over everyone. And I think that's why we're in the position we're in now. And so a person like Donald Trump, you know, we may not like his tactics, but he's the guy that's going to step in and he's going to say, this is the correct way to go. You know, this is how we should live as a country. And it shows how much there is a division out there. And it's sad. I will say, I think social media has a huge part in that. And that, as you know, in terms of the algorithms that lead us down certain paths, that, you know, if I tend toward being more liberal or progressive, I'm going to get, you know, this type of news. I'm going to get these types of articles that are going to pop up in my feed, versus being more conservative, I'm going to get certain articles and stuff that pops up. And so basically we're completely talking past each other, because we have completely different worldviews, and that worldview is being created by the stuff that people are consuming, the news that they're consuming, the sources that they are getting, you know, their understanding of the world. You know, as Christians, we need to get our understanding of the world needs to be informed by a biblical worldview. And you know, that biblical worldview tells us whether, you know, what we what we need to believe and who we need to believe, where things line up with our biblical worldview, you know, we can get on board with those things. So if, as an example, biblical worldview says thou shalt not murder. Well, I need to be anti-abortion because God's word says that's murder. And so I need to line up with people who believe that. There is so much division out there right now that I don't know how we're going to move forward as a country in the way that we're, you know, in the way things are going.
That's what I was going to ask you is when you look at our government, and you said you can see it's not just, they're not just separate. There's a divide. I mean, it's massive. It's when he announced last night that, you know, he said it again, that we see that there are only two sexes, men and women. I mean, the left side was just going nuts. Like, they're like, you're crazy. And then, I mean, it's just common, like he was saying, that it's, we're bringing common sense back. Has there ever been, or is is it something that people are focusing their hate on Donald Trump? Is he that polarizing? Or, like, we're talking about conflict and how to deal with it as a Christian. Is it because he does the art of the deal? So what he will do is he'll say something with bravado, like, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But really what he's doing is he's trying to pave the, like, plow the field, I think, and then get things set in the way it's going to go. But he does it with such bravado that some people hate it, some people love it. And so is the way that he does it, is that the correct way? Like, when you look at the art of the deal as Christians, like you said, it's how loving is it, or how well is he doing that?
Well, what's interesting is that he's basically giving the extreme. He's basically laying out a story that says, this is what we're going to do. We're going to 25% tariffs on this and 20% tariffs on that. We're going to tariff everything. When in reality, I mean, he's putting out there basically what you might say is worst case scenario. And his hope is to push the negotiations toward the middle where there can be compromise. And he does that by, I mean, it's interesting because if I'm negotiating, as an example, if I'm with a street vendor, and I'm negotiating the price of a trinket that I'm going to buy, I want to buy. Mm-hmm. Well, when you go to other countries and you do this, the best way to negotiate is to throw out just this low rock bottom, you know, price. They're asking, you know, $20 for it. And you tell them, okay, I'll give you three. But what that does is it causes the other side to give their actual position away. Like, basically they're going to say that's ludicrous, but they're going to be more willing to give you what the actual number is. And you can figure out what their actual number is by compromising, through compromise. But you do that after you've thrown out this low anchor. And I think that's what he's doing in terms of these things. He's throwing out worst case scenario, you know, for the other side. And he's pulling them, it pulls them over more toward the anchor. And I think, you know, toward the middle of, you know, so that there can be true compromise. And you ask if that's a viable tactic as a Christian. Well, I think it's a matter of conscience. You know, I'm not trying to, as an example, going back to the street vendor, you know, is my motive to get this trinket for cheap and make sure that he doesn't, and I don't care whether he makes money or not. Well, if that's my motive as a Christian, I'm wrong. I'm in sin. But if my motive is, I know that they're pumping up the prices, and I know that I can't pay, you know, the $20 he's asking because I'm pretty sure he's doubling the price, and I want to get him down to that $10 price. Well, if my motive is to get to that $10 price, I don't know that it's a bad thing. Now, I think the question when it comes to, or I don't think it's a sinful thing, but I think the question when it comes to a guy like Donald Trump, it's the bravado that goes along with it. You know, like it's arrogance, and he's portraying an arrogant stance. And And yet what's difficult is in politics, the way the politics are set up right now is that I think that's the only thing that the Democrats respond to. And yeah. So as Christians, it is a dilemma for us because I don't, you know, what's his motive? And I don't know his heart, but, you know, I have to understand that, you know, if his motive is to destroy the other side, well, that's probably not, I mean, that isn't the right motive as a Christian. But if his motive is truly to bring them to the middle and to a place where there can be, bring them to a place where there can be compromise, then I don't know that it's a bad thing because that's the world of politics right now.
Yeah.
The days of Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill.
Yes.
It isn't, we're not in those days. It's different. Yeah. And, you know, there needs to be, you have to, I think what's happening is Donald Trump's having to hit them at their level. This is the level that they're at and where they're willing to go. I mean, we saw it last night and how they responded. Like, I mean, there was no decorum, like zero. Decorum was out the window, and it's because they thought they were right. And I think that's where Donald Trump's at, is that because of that, he's having to respond in a way that isn't necessarily the most godly, for sure.
Yeah. So how far away you think are we that when a president gives a speech like this, people will start throwing tomatoes or things like that? Or will things get better? Will we go back to the way it was?
Well, they would have thrown tomatoes last night if they could have gotten them into this building.
Yeah.
There's literally no doubt in my mind that some of those guys, if they'd had tomatoes, that they would have been chunking them at Trump. And yeah, I think that we're there. I mean, tomatoes may not be flying, but I think that's because they didn't have access to them. So,
yeah, I've never seen someone get kicked out before like that. That was interesting.
Yeah, right at the beginning.
That was what some green congressman from Texas got kicked out. He had a cane and everything. So as we move on, we're talking about conflict and how Christians should deal with it. When we're let's say we're talking to someone who they have a different idea of the truth. Like they see their truth as being what's real, but we know that it's not real. So we're talking to them, but they don't want to hear our truth. So as Christians, how do we deal with that? When I'm just thinking of when I hear people talk about Donald Trump, there's things out there that I've never seen before where he's done all these horrible things to children and to dogs. And I mean, it's like, where are they getting this from? This is not true. I mean, but they believe it. They believe that that Donald Trump is worse than Hitler. He's worse than Antichrist. He's worse than anything. And he needs to be stopped. Whereas, you know, you and I, we see him, obviously he's not a believer. He's got faults. He's definitely, you know, has the same foibles that we all do, but but we don't see him as that pure evil. As Christians, how do we respond to that? Like, is there a point where you just look, we can't talk about this because we're not getting anywhere? Or what should we do?
Well, I think our starting point needs to be to evaluate what he's actually doing. We need to separate his personality from what he's actually accomplishing and doing. So, you know, there seems to be two different narratives when it comes to a man like Donald Trump. There's the narrative that he's this evil, you know, arrogant, prideful man. And for sure, as Christians, we can see that, right? I mean, we see the hallmarks of the things that we're talking about. I mean, he said I think he was joking, but he said he was the number one president and George Washington is number two.
I heard that.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's arrogance. I mean, that's putting yourself first. And we shouldn't, as Christians, that shouldn't be what we do. But I think that on the other side, then you have the president that Donald Trump, that he's compassionate. He shows compassion. Like all those people that he had in the gallery last night who were, he brought it, right? You know, like the young boy that had brain cancer, he brought those people there and you can tell that he's compassionate for them. And you can tell that Melania has compassion for people like that. And that I don't think it's an act. I think it's true. And so you have this bravado on one side, but then on the other side, you have, you know, the things that he's actually doing. And, you know, that he's, how many presidents have we heard say that there's two genders?
Yeah.
You know, especially, prior to 10 years ago, there was no need to say it because it's just understood. But in the past 10 years, nobody has said that other than Donald Trump. And so as Christians, we need to be listening to what he's saying and not what basically the media is trying to, how the media is trying to portray him. We can see, as you said, his foibles. We can see his sin, and we need to pray for him, and we need to pray that he would be, you know, a humble man. But I have to tell you that I think that the where we are as a country, I'm not sure a man that's humble is going to be able to do what he's doing. Now, does that make it right? No. But at the same time, he's kind of the guy for the hour. And I, as a Christian, I have to be, you know, willing to try to understand that. You know, we didn't elect an elder. We didn't elect a pastor.
Yeah.
You know, we elected a man to go and be the president of the United States and stand for what's right. And I think that based on his actions, based on what he's doing, that he's doing things that are mostly right.
Yeah. And as you look at him, I think, you know, the art of the deal is to come across as strong. You're strong in what you're doing. And so the person you're negotiating with looks at you as, this guy's pretty tough. You know, I'm going to have to be on my toes when I negotiate with him. I think that's what Trump is always doing. He's always trying to be that kind of a tougher guy. And, you know, looking at Trudeau from Canada and all these other guys, he's, you know, he's talking the tough game and kind of letting them know that, you know, this, you're not going to be able to push us around anymore. And I think that's a lot of it. But like you said, there's also that, I don't want to say soft side, but he does have a sort of a tender side as well, where he wants to help people. And I think he really believes that America is the best country in the world and it can be even better. But then again, we can look, as we look forward, I don't think you or I would be surprised if suddenly in 2 years from now or something, he's completely different, because that's the thing. We just don't know what's going to happen as we look forward. We trust God that he's in control. He's sovereign. He knows what's going on. But as we look at the world, everything in the world seems to be not as solid, not as on stable ground. And things are just sort of teetering. if the lightest, smallest touch could set something off. And so we are living in really strange, amazing times as we look around in the world. And again, there's it just feels like there's conflict everywhere. Conflict, no matter what you're doing. I mean, when we look at what's going on with in my old home state of Minnesota, just passed a law saying that men will be allowed to, you know, play sports with women. I don't understand any of that. Do you? I mean, how is that protecting women's rights when you have a man who is I guess I call it a man girl, wants to play sport? How does that work?
Well, I mean, I think that's a demonic worldview. I mean, it's demonic. And it's the doctrine of demons. And they're so convinced that it's, you know, it's the right thing that they're willing to give up. They're willing to sacrifice a whole group of people. So they're willing to sacrifice all these young girls who are trying to compete in sports because of a demonic worldview. And I don't think there's any other way to put it. And I think that's why, you know, last night they were, when he said some of the things he said, that they were willing to, you know, put up their false signs and to do all the things that they did and really act foolish. And, you know, I think that it's a demonic force that is demonically influencing people on that side. And we've already talked about many times that they're the party of death. I mean, they want to kill people. They want to mutilate people. I mean, that's what they're standing for. And again, that's demonic.
Yeah. So in a conflict like that, what's the best thing to do? Is it to be firm and say, no, we're not doing that?
Well, I think that's where Donald Trump is at. You know, like, love him or hate him, loving is, if you hate it, even hating his attitude and his demeanor, he's willing to step in and say, this is no more. We're not going to allow biological males to compete in women's sports. And, you know, he's willing to step in that breach. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that that's what politically, that's what we've needed. As Christians, we have to be willing to stand on the truth, at the same time, be willing to have a relationship with people who are, you know, that who we disagree with in order to have influence and in order to be salt and light.
So when we get back to how we kind of started this podcast about with Zelensky and Trump, when they were in the Oval Office and Zelensky was showing, you know, photos of prisoners and all this stuff, things that really wasn't supposed to happen. And he was showing photos of things, prisoners. He was just sort of, he was going off script, I guess is what you would, if you were going to say it. He was totally being disrespectful in many ways with Trump and Vance. So the way it was handled, again, it was, to me, I don't see, and maybe I'm wrong, you can tell me if I'm wrong, because you will, but I didn't think Trump handled it horribly. I thought it was done, he was very, you know, hard, but I didn't think he was really yelling or anything like that. So when we look at exactly what happened, and what do you think the conflict was handled by two non-Christian men, let's just say, how was that handled at that time?
Well, how do we look at a situation like that? And as Christians, how do we respond to it? And, you know, what I think what we don't do is what we shouldn't do. And I know this is the tendency is to be lazy and just listen to the 10-minute or a 5-minute or 2-minute soundbite, you know, just to listen to, you know, to what the media tells you about this situation and how the media spins it. But as Christians, we need to be willing to do the hard work of digging into a situation like this so that we can fully understand it. And my understanding in looking at the situation, what happened was, is that there was a mineral rights deal that was on the table, rare earths and minerals. The deal was on the table. Everybody knew what the deal was, that meeting was for Zelensky to come in and actually sign this deal between the two nations. But what happened is that he didn't agree to the deal, even though he was there. Even though he came to the table, he didn't ultimately agree to the deal. And so there was, I don't know if it's a misunderstanding or what happened, but he didn't, you know, I think on Trump's side and Vance's side, they believed that Zelensky agreed to the deal. And so when Zelensky came in front of the American people, instead of doing this behind closed doors, he did it in front of the American people. And he, you know, you might say litigated the case in front of the American people. And so instead of doing it behind closed doors where he could say what he wanted to say and needed to say, you know, I don't agree with this. And they deal with it behind closed doors. Instead of doing that, he did it in front of the American people in the Oval Office. And that's the part, you know, when you talk about being disrespectful, that's the part that was disrespectful. That was, you know, instead of doing it behind closed doors, he did it in a situation where everybody can see it. And it put Trump and Vance in a very difficult position. They could have said nothing and moved on, but they chose not to do that. They chose to stand up to him. Now, whether or not that was the right answer in that situation, again, goes back to what, you know, as far as who our politicians are. And, you know, I think that the problem is that Zelensky put them in that position to have to respond. And the question was, how are they going to respond? And even though, well, I will tell you that for me, I don't think we should be emotional in how we respond to this, like how we respond to what's happening. And I think we need to be very logical in that. And what we need to understand is that we need to look at the whole picture of what happened and understand the whole picture before we start saying, yeah, Trump is wrong, or he, you know, how he responded or not. They put him, I mean, Zelensky put him in that position and Vance in that position. Because I don't think, here's what's interesting. I don't think that Vance and Trump wanted it to come out that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that was their goal. They weren't trying to have this argument with Zelensky in front of the American people. I think that Zelensky put them in that position. And, you know, as Christians, we need to be able to not be emotional in how we respond, but we need to try to understand everything that happened.
Exactly. And I, you know, what I see, and this is just from reading and studying everything that's going on with the Ukraine war, is that Zelensky is afraid of a ceasefire because the money will stop pouring in. I mean, that's what it looked like, is Trump keeps saying that, look, all we want to do is end this war. And Zelensky keeps saying, I don't think it's going to end. I don't think it's going to end. And the reason it's not going to end is because really Zelensky doesn't want it to end, because he's getting billions and billions of dollars from the United States. Well, and once that stops.
Yeah, well, that and he's going to have to face re-election.
Exactly. He's suspended all elections.
So it's not in his favor for peace to come. I mean, it's better to continue the fight. And that's, you know, that at least on the outside looking in, that seems to be his motivation. I don't know his heart motives, but his motivation seems to be to continue the fight so that there can be money and so that he doesn't have to face re-election. You know, it's going to be hard for him. I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to be reelected with the meat grinder he's put his people through.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, I want to go back. What I really want to say, I mean, in terms of biblical worldview, I want to make sure that as Christians that we're discerning, like you're discerning what's happening. I don't think we should be, Trump never makes a mistake. Trump never does anything wrong. I don't think we should fall for that. And I see Christians doing that, and that's wrong. We need to be willing to look at the situation, you know, logically. We need to be able to look at the situation and understand biblically how to respond. And we need to look at the whole situation as far as we can. Like, we need to know, as an example, every Christian who has an opinion on this situation with Zelensky should have listened to the entire interview. I don't think that you should have a opinion one way or the other without actually listening to the entire, when I say interview, but the entire press conference, because that gives you some background. But also trying to understand and put yourself in each person's position and what they were trying to accomplish. And I think if you do that, then even though you might not like how Trump responded in terms of his attitude, when you put yourself into that and you're trying to be reasonable and understanding, you come to realize that Trump had no choice. Ultimately, he had to respond in that way because of what Zelensky tried to do.
Yeah,
literally, he tried an end around. Like, he was, you know, it was a misdirection. He was saying on one side, I'm going to sign this mineral deal, but then he came in and he litigated it in front of the entire United States and in front of the press. And that's just not the way to handle things. It's not the way to handle things in a gentlemanly way, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And you could see when you watch it is when Zelensky says he calls JD, Vice President Vance, he calls him JD and kind of argues with him. You could see Trump getting angry. And that's when Trump kind of, you know, was a little hard on him, actually touched his shoulder and kind of said, hey, you're not holding the cards. And that's when it got a little heated at that time. So it is interesting when we look at like conflicts, it would be, I guess what it would be almost like, let's say in a situation like you and I as elders of a church, let's say behind in our elders meeting, we're talking about, I don't know, having a lazy boy chairs in the congregation. And you're like, well, I don't think that's a good idea. And I'm like, well, I kind of would like it. And then as we stand in front of the church and we're talking to them and I say, hey, church, what do you guys think of lazy boy chairs? I think we should have them. And, you know, how would you handle that situation? Would you say, well, that's something we need to talk about later?
Yeah. I mean, I would say I would tell you that this is not, I would politely say this is not the time and the place to litigate this question. You know, we need to talk about it before we, you know, begin to bring it. We need to agree to bring it before the body if we're going to do that. And I think that's a great example. You know, that when you look at an elder team, all of our disagreements need to be behind closed doors for the best to the best of our ability. Once we're outside and once we're facing the church, facing the world, we need to be like-minded. We need to be responding in a like-minded way. And that's such a great analogy to what happened, because it would be just like that. You know, you and I disagreeing, you and I talking behind closed doors, and you don't tell me what you disagree about. Like that, I mean, like, you're basically telling me, yeah, I want to sign the deal. I want us to do this. And then when I bring it up in front of, when we bring it up in front of the body, all of a sudden you say, well, I didn't want this part of it. I don't want to do this part of it. That's exactly what Zelensky did. I mean, he instead of bringing it up behind closed doors and leaving it behind closed doors, even if he brought it up behind closed doors, he didn't, you know, to bring it up like that in front of everybody and put Trump in that position was not the right way to handle it. And I think as Christians, we need to discern that. Like, we need to be able to discern, you know, get past the emotional response, get past, you know, our likes and our dislikes, and say, okay, what really happened here? And why did Trump respond in that way? And ultimately, Zelensky put him in a corner, and he had to.
Yeah. You know, when I look at Zelensky, he's one of these guys that when I first saw him, I liked him. I thought he was kind of a hero. But the more you know about him, and the more the way he's handling himself, you're starting to see a lot of flaws in this guy. That he's not the perfect guy. You know, he's not this. He's really looking out for himself and pocketing a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely enriching himself. It seems like. And what's interesting is, if you look at his background, I mean, he has an incredibly ungodly background.
Yes.
And, you know, he was, I'm not even going to say what, you know, what he was. And I see him as an ungodly man. And what's interesting is that, you know, you have Trump on one side, who's married, beautiful family, father, grandfather. He's a man who, he stands for a lot of the values that I stand for, and people hate him because he's got, you know, this bravado, this attitude that they don't like. They don't like him in that way. But then on the other side, you have a man who, you know, is an ungodly man, like morally bankrupt, like literally morally bankrupt.
And as Christians, we need to be able to understand the difference between the sins that we see in Donald Trump and the sins that we see in a man like Zelensky. And I think we have to be discerning of which one is the one that we ought to be listening to when it comes to these things. And even though I don't like Trump's attitude, I don't like a lot of things he says, I realize and try to realize that where he stands as a man is more aligned with me than a man like Zelensky.
Yeah, it's like who's really the monster? Donald Trump or Zelensky, or are they both?
Well, I mean, I think that both are unbelievers, as far as I can tell, right? So you know, ultimately, both have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and so, you know, both of them are in a position where they're going to stand before a holy God and have to answer for their sins, and you know, they're going to have to face the wrath of God if they don't repent, and yet, when I look at degree of sin, when I look at degree of wrongdoing, it falls squarely on Zelensky as far as what we can see and what we know. There's nothing about Donald Trump that would say that he is morally corrupt in that sense. Like, morally, I mean, he's morally corrupt because all mankind is morally corrupt, but in the sense of morality, he basically has a Christian morality. And, you know, he's an unbeliever. As a Christian, I have to be discerning in that way.
So, conflict. How should we as Christians conduct ourselves in a heated conflict? We do it. What would you, if you were going to summarize it, what would you say?
Well, I would summarize it by saying we shouldn't avoid conflict when it's needed. You have to have conflict. There has to be conflict in your family, in your marriage, in order to get to the right place. There's going to be conflict, and it's just a matter of how you deal with it. You don't sweep it under the rug. You don't blow it up in a way that's unnecessary. but at the same time, you don't just ignore things. And so I would say that, you know, conflict is it's what's going to happen in our fallen world. It's going to happen in our churches. It's going to happen in our families. You know, you and I are going to have conflict. And, you know, it's a matter of knowing and trusting that the other person, as a Christian, that we have their best interest in mind, that we love them more than we love ourselves. And if we're going to say something, if we're going to have conflict with someone, that there's a purpose in seeing them become more like Christ. And, you know, obviously, as we look at conflict, like between Trump and Zelensky, or the, you know, the joint session last night, you know, that's at a different level, that's a different category than the conflict I'm talking about in your family and your church. But at the same time, we have to be discerning about that kind of conflict and try to understand to the best of our ability, you know, what's behind it and what's driving each side, you know, as we decide which one is right or wrong in terms of, you know, what they're conflicting about.
Amen. That's it. That's a good way to end it. And I'll be ordering those Lazy Boys very soon.
You are lazy.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.